Coming up, I'll reveal the number one contributor to career regret. And then the jobs report offers some recession clues and then big sounding job titles. And I'm going to coach you up. Let's go. Coaching you to have the competitive edge to make more money and more impact in your work. I'm Ken. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Excited that you're with us. All right, so what is the number one contributor of career regret? Well, I'm glad you asked. It is, you ready? Drum roll. The fear of disappointing others. The fear of disappointing others. This is the number one contributor to career regret, and quite frankly, regret in any area of our lives. This has a professional and a personal context today. So I really want to challenge those of you who are really worried about regret later on in your life to understand that at the source of all regret is the fear of disappointing others. So let's just start with this context here of humanness in that we all long to belong. We all want to have this sense that we matter to others. In other words, belonging. These people over here, well, they value me, they care for me, they love me. And so this is what drives our longing to belong to a tribe, if you want to just make it very, very simple. So that could be a personal tribe, a professional tribe, it's all the things. So that is at the heart of, because we want to belong to others, we don't want others to disapprove of us. So now you're starting to see how we all struggle with this. So if I want to belong, I don't want to be put out. I don't want to experience disapproval. And thus we do things that we don't want to do largely because we want to belong. I mean, this is who we are. So we all understand that. Everybody gets that. That's our human nature. So this leads to being the number one contributor to career regret or personal regret in our lives. We don't want to disappoint others, so we accept things or do things that we don't want to accept or do, all so that we please others. Or we give ourselves the false perception that maybe we've pleased others. I call this the fear of peers. It includes family as well. The fear of peers. In other words, the fear of disappointing someone can be the greatest contributor to decisions that we will regret later on in life. We want to make everybody else happy. So we've got a decision that we want to make and we begin to share it. And then we get that decision gets met with a little resistance. Maybe it's just doubt. Well, I don't know. That could be kind of risky. Maybe it's criticism. Oh, that's not smart at all. It takes me back to several years ago on this program. I'll never forget it as long as I live. I took a phone call from a young lady in her early 30s. And she started off the call along the lines of calls you've heard every day on the show where she said, Ken, I need help. I'm lost. I need help. And so I began to ask her questions and dive into her story, and here's what I found out. As I asked her to go back into her teenage years, adolescence, and childhood, what did you wonder about? Did you dream about something? And she instantly answered. She said, yeah, I always wanted to do this one thing. And I said, oh, here we go. We got breakthrough. And I said, what's that one thing that you always wanted to do as a young lady? She said, I wanted to work with horses. I wanted to train horses. Maybe I wanted to ride horses. Maybe I wanted to be a veterinarian. I just knew that I wanted to work with horses because I loved horses from the earliest memory that I could conjure up as a young girl. And I was in my high school years and I knew I wanted to do it. And I said, why didn't you do it? And this is where this gets hard to hear for some of us. She said, I told my dad one day and my dad told me, he didn't think that was a wise decision for me. Didn't think I could make good money. Didn't think it was a great career path. Now, this is her father. And I said to her, I said, how did it make you feel when your dad said that? And then she began to cry. She began to weep. to where she could barely talk to me. And here's what happened in that moment. Her dad accidentally, he did not do it in an unkind way. He's a good man. He was a good father. But he unintentionally, in his own fear for his daughter's future, stepped all over her heart. Stepped all over it. Crushed her. And because she didn't want to disappoint her father, she ignored her own heart. Very understandable. Very understandable. Maybe the most influential person in her life. Certainly one of the few. Stepped all over her heart. She wanted to please her father, so she ignored her passion. And she calls me years later, decades later, wounded to the point of weeping. At some point, folks, whether you're in your 30s, your 40s, or even 50s, parents, at some point, you're going to have to acknowledge the fact that every individual, you, your kids, your spouse, was individually created by the creator of the universe, to fulfill a unique role. And if we don't fill that role, our soul suffers. We're going to have to acknowledge this. This isn't about a job. This is about your life. And if you are created to fill a unique role, if you don't fill it, your soul will let you know. And yet the number one contributor to regret is the fear of disappointing others. And so here's my mantra today. You better get okay disappointing other people, because if you don't, you will end up resenting those people. Let me say that again so that you get it, because this is serious stuff. The very people that you are afraid of disappointing will be the same people that you will end up resenting. Because if you don't pursue what is on your heart, what you are supposed to do, live the life that you are supposed to live, because they didn't approve, whether it's criticism or just doubt, you will resent those people, and the disappointment is on them. You don't have to live with that. They do. But I can tell you the resentment is all on you, and it'll be like carrying around a huge bag of cinder blocks to the day you die. So choose to disappoint instead of resent. Why? Why am I unpacking this? Why do I lead off with this today? Because here's what I know. This world is littered with people who are in their life right now, or who will get to the end of their journey, and they will look back on their life and they will regret, not reminisce. And I want to look back and reminisce. I want to reminisce on the failures, the victories. Be who you were born to be. Coming up, we'll break down some stories that you need to know about in the news. Helping you get the competitive edge to make more money and make more impact. This is the Ken Coleman Show. So excited that you're with us. 844-747-2577 is the number for our coaching session a little bit later in the program. I got so excited with our open today. I got fired up. Been on vacation. And I got fired up. And I won at least mention. I'm not going to read it. But I had in my teaching notes today that Robert Frost poem about two roads diverging in a yellow wood. I was going to read it, and I think that we need to read this. Like, first of all, people don't read anymore, and sometimes you can read prose and read words that have been put together by masterful communicators that can really seal a thought for you. So it's the road less traveled. by Robert Frost, I believe is the name of the poem. Go check it out. I was going to read it dramatically, but I got so excited preaching that I just I skipped it. Hey, for those of you that are still looking for the job or you're thinking about doing it, you're wondering if the job market is hot, I'm going to get to that in the news just momentarily. But if you're thinking about doing it, you need to consider my friends at ZipRecruiter. This is a free service to you. Companies all over the country are paying them, so you, the talent, don't have to pay for this service. They do all the work for you. The minute you fill out a profile, they're immediately looking for jobs that match up with what you want, and they're pitching you, which means you get noticed because the companies are paying ZipRecruiter to send them talent. And then the company says, hey, we want to interview you, and ZipRecruiter gets out of the way, puts you directly in touch with them, you get an interview. It's the least frustrating, most effective way to get hired. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken is the website, ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. Alex and Nathan, I forgot to tell you this. I swam with the Dolphins last week, and I've got some phenomenal photos and video that we probably need to work into the show tomorrow. So for those of you who are regulars, our YouTube crazies are watching, these people will lose their minds with this footage. Boyhood dream to swim with dolphins. I don't know why, but I got to do it. My wife surprised me, and it blew my mind. And I did a couple of fun videos. Have you seen these, Alex? They're making their way around. You've already seen. See, I haven't even sent it to you yet. They're making their way around the building because everybody's like, this one video in particular is very fun. So that's a tease for tomorrow. How about that? All right, tune in tomorrow. We'll get to that. All right, I am a man of the people. I keep you informed. Let's talk about it in the news. Okay, so the news, because they just live to freak you people out, that's how they get you to pay attention. They're trying to scare you half to death about the recession. There's an oncoming recession. Recession, you know, and it just drives me nuts. And I'm the kind of person that when I see the media beating the drum on something, I immediately am cynical. And so my knee-jerk reaction is not to believe the media. My knee-jerk reaction is to go, okay, what's really going on? Okay. So over the last couple of weeks, I've been telling you folks, recession, I don't know, we'll see. Right, that's when the GDP in two to three straight quarters slows. That's called a recession. Okay, it's not the end of the world. All right, but are we in a recession? So I thought, well, let's look at the latest job report numbers because that has a lot to do with it. So I like to look at real data and then help you people be informed so that you're not, you know, informed by Charlie at the water cooler who walks around with his blankie. He's so scared and he has to listen to Fox and CNN and MSNBC and all these people. So here we go. By the way, the paper crinkle, I had a lady reach out to me on Instagram. She was like, Ken, you need to give credit to Rush Limbaugh on that. Like every time I do it, this lady wants me to go, I learned that from Rush Limbaugh. I'm not going to do that. The people like when I do it. It's entertaining to me. I'm going to keep doing it. He doesn't own that sound. So there it is. But she really was upset. It's like, that's a Rush Limbaugh thing. Well, he's dead. Somebody needs to do it. You know, I love Rush. God rest his soul. But that was one of my favorite things that he did. Some people out in the lobby watching the show today, and most are entertained. There's a couple people just like, I'm not sure about this guy. Not sure. Okay, what did the latest job report say? June job numbers. These are non-farm payroll job additions. 372,000 jobs were added in June. 372,000. That's unbelievable. Now, in May, the economy added 390,000 jobs. So again, this is not a bad sign. Okay. Now, again, I'm not saying that these healthy job numbers, and they're pretty healthy given the fact that inflation is sky high. These are pretty healthy numbers given that the Fed is actively increasing the interest rate, which freaks people out. These are healthy numbers, crazy numbers if you look at the fact that we still have this big job gap. What do I mean? So we are still at 3.6% unemployment. That is historically low. Just to give you an idea, that's right where we were the February before the pandemic effectively hit in 2020. Extraordinary that we're back to that number. given all the jobs that were lost. So, okay, we still may see recessionary patterns, and we may end up seeing after this quarter's over that we are, in fact, in a recession. But as it relates to job numbers, these numbers are good, and here's why. We did see and reported on this show over the last 2 to 3 weeks that we saw large layoffs from some tech companies, some real estate companies, companies like Carvana, which, you know, they're selling cars, but they're really a tech company. That's all online retail sales, if you will. So we're going to see, with interest rates going up, certain industries will lay off some people. But that's a normal part of the economic rhythm. So what we do see is, again, adding jobs. And that was more than that was predicted by economists. But economists are like the weather people. They really don't know what's going to happen either. They just kind of give you the forecast. They don't know. God bless them. They don't know. You know. So all that to say, as we look at the economy, we go, okay, how does it affect my ability to pivot or to get promoted? Because I'm in the business of helping people make more money and experience more meaning, all right? So there are two ways to make more money. Either I get promoted, and that could be me promoting myself as a small business owner. My customers are promoting me. Or I get promoted within my company. Or I get a promotion outside the company. Or I pivot and I move from one industry to another. And so right now, you can go get it, folks. Don't believe the sky is falling nonsense. The dollar at an all-time high. Now, I think there's problems with our economy. We've got some issues. There's no question inflation's out of control. Okay, but you control how you react to inflation. You don't need Washington, D.C. or your governor or your state senator, anybody, to make your life better. The fact of the matter is, we are still in an extremely hot labor market. So, be careful what you click on. Be careful what you watch. Okay, fun story here. Big sounding job titles are feeding egos in a tight labor market. Sean Cole is quoted in this Bloomberg article. He's the president of Cohen Partners, a nationwide executive search firm. Listen to this quote. He says, entire careers of job titles are being condensed into a decade. 10 years worth of titles are being condensed into five. So new titles have had to be invented because firms can only offer so much money. So again, keeping everything relevant, one of the reasons we've seen inflation go up is because of incomes went up. Coming out of the pandemic, there was a domino effect. Walmart, Target, Amazon all say, okay, we're going to raise our minimum wage, $17 an hour, $20 an hour. And so you don't think that Amazon's passing that cost on to you? Have you seen Jeff Bezos? Guy plays around with spaceships. He's passing the cost on to you. So is Target. Okay? So now kids are going, I'm not going back to work at McDonald's or Taco Bell until you pay me more. And so what happens? They pass it on to you. So, new job titles. So don't get all hung up on your job title. It's just a carrot they're dangling to make you feel better about yourself. Is it the right work? If it is, do it. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you get the competitive edge to make more money and experience more meaning in your work. No team has ever won without a coach. Gotta have a coach. We all need a coach in multiple areas of our life. We need that coach in our corner. And if you enjoy the type of coaching I do here on the show, we have an opportunity to help you go further, faster. Ramsey Career Coaching is a team of professional coaches. These men and women are certified. They've been doing it a very long time. And they are in alignment with what I teach and how we treat people here at Ramsey Solutions. And they can meet with you on an ongoing basis to help you create a custom plan for unrivaled growth. But the space is limited. We're launching this as a pilot program. We want to go slow and learn so that we serve you best. We've limited to 30 participants. We're about halfway there. This is not a quick decision that people make. So we have a lot of people checking it out, kicking the tires. So if you want to jump in and find a career coach that's right for you, go to kencoleman.com/coaching. That's kencoleman.com/coaching. By the way, Alex, in my time on vacation, I spent a lot of time diving into new material, new content on competition, the competitive nature of human beings. And I'm real excited about it. We're going to be teaching on it in the days ahead. So you hear me say on the show every day that I'm here to coach you to have the competitive edge. You are competing against the you of yesterday, and you are competing against people out there. It doesn't have to be nasty and backbiting and dirty, but make no mistake, you are competing. And Alex, I can't wait to tell you about it in our content meeting. There are two types of people in the world as it relates to competition. Those that competition fuels them, and those that shrink from competition. So we're going to unpack this over the days ahead and let you figure out, how does competition affect you? Because you don't get to escape the competition unless you just say, all right, I'm going home, taking my toys, and I'm going to stay in a padded room. That's coming. I'm very excited about it because I want to coach you to win. Let's go to Lee, who joins us next in Charlotte, North Carolina. Lee, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. How are you?
I'm living the dream, Lee. What are you doing?
Can't say I'm living the dream, but
okay.
I'm here.
All right. Well, I'm here too. Let's fix that. What's going on?
Well, I've been a registered dietitian for 10 years now, and I'm kind of feeling I don't love it at 10 years, so I don't think I'll love it anymore in another 10 years.
Why? What makes you not love it anymore?
I just don't get excited about doing it, I guess.
No, I know. What is causing the lack of excitement? I'm pushing you because I think you need to identify this. Let me put it this way. Was there a time where you loved being a dietitian?
No.
Never?
Never.
Okay. So what do you not, so what makes you not love it? Who makes you not love it?
It's just more so something I'm not extremely interested in compared to other things I'm interested in.
Okay. What made you get into being a dietitian if you weren't interested in it?
Well, I love food. That was part of the reason I chose this career, but it was kind of one of those things where I just had to pick something and roll with it.
So we love food. And we also heard you say, it's just not something that I'm really interested in. That tells me you're interested in other things, and I'm guessing other potential career paths around food, true or false?
Not really around food.
Okay, what are you interested in then?
I'm more interested in like esthetician or something revolving around cosmetics or beauty.
What makes you interested in cosmetics, esthetician type work? What is pulling you into that?
It's something I gravitate towards in my spare time. I'm constantly researching things and looking up different things, and it's just, I feel like I'm more passionate about that than I am food and being a dietitian. I feel like I've been in this too long to really change anything.
That's not true. False narrative. What has to be true? And we're not saying that you're going to decide today to be an esthetician, but what has to be true for you to become an esthetician? Give me a quick couple things, checklist. What has to be true? What has to be true for you to become an esthetician? So you got to go get qualified in an esthetician school.
Right. I have to go to school.
You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Okay. So the point is that you've got some stuff you got to do, but it is doable, true or false?
Yes, I suppose so.
Well, no, you don't suppose so. You're hanging on for dear life, aren't you? You called me to coach you, and you just won't let me coach you. I'm kidding. Here's what's going on. You're afraid. What are you afraid of?
I've always been afraid of change in general.
Okay. So you know what is at the you know what is at the core of the fear of the unknown?
I would say so, yes.
Yeah, the core at the fear of the unknown is knowledge. Like, you don't have the knowledge, mm-hmm. so go get the knowledge. That's why I asked you the question, what needs to be true for you to become mm-hmm. an esthetician? So let's walk through it. So I know that at some point you would have to get some form of qualification. And so we need to go find mm-hmm. out all the different esthetician schools online, in Charlotte, whatever, and we find out what the cost is going to be, correct?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. And then we look at your own financial situation, your budget, your financial reality. We go, okay, do I have the cash to cash flow it? If I don't, how long will it take me to save up for it?
Mm-hmm.
You see what's happening? I'm plugging answers into the blanks. So mm-hmm. your fear is the fear of the unknown. Fear of change is simply the fear of the unknown. Mm-hmm. Because if I told you, hey, I've got a friend who runs an esthetician school in Charlotte. I'm going to make a phone call right now. I'm going to do the Ken Coleman special. She's going to put you through for free. How afraid of being an esthetician are you now with that little narrative?
I think that takes away some of the fear.
Yeah, right. So it's all mind games. So mm-hmm. the fear of change is the fear of the unknown. The way to overcome the fear of the unknown is to go get the answers. What do I need to learn? How much is it going to cost? How long will that take to get it? All right, that's the big fear. Then the fact of the matter is, being an esthetician, if that is what you were to choose, is mm-hmm. a function of using the skill you've been taught and taking care of women's faces, scraping them up, making them smooth, whatever. My wife's done this a few times. It sounds horrible, but they scrape their face. I mean, it's like they literally scrape their face, like a facial, right? Am I right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
People are looking at me like I'm crazy. I'm like, I know what it is. So my point is, could you do a good job of that?
I think so, but yes. I never tried.
Have you ever been to see an esthetician yourself?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right, then. You know you could do this work. If you were trained properly, you mm-hmm. could do a good job. Because how much of being an esthetician is carrying on conversation? In other words, making a connection with the woman in the chair. How
right.
much of it?
I would say a decent amount.
Decent amount. And do you mm-hmm. see the connection between dietitian and esthetician?
I do.
Yeah, mm-hmm. what's the connection?
Just working with the client.
Yeah.
Trying to...
I'm going to say it even simpler. The mm-hmm. connection between dietitian and esthetician is caring for people, helping
right.
people.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure esthetician is the play or makeup or whatever. I'm not sure there's not a food thing, but here's what I do know about you.
Mm-hmm.
You went to be a dietitian because you like food and you like caring for people, but you hated it from day one. So I think you've mm-hmm. got to go spend some time. I call it the proximity principle. Get around mm-hmm. people who are doing what you think you want to do, and let's spend some time with them. Let's shadow them. Let's ask them lots of questions, and let's figure out, would I enjoy doing this 8 hours a day, 5 days a week? You feel me?
Oh, yeah.
This is the answer that you need to figure out. So if it's mm-hmm. makeup, skincare, food, it doesn't matter. I do think your heart longs to help people. Is that true or false?
True.
All right, so mm-hmm. you now have to answer the question, who do I want to help and how do I want to help them? It's not being a dietitian. Maybe it's something else. Go research. Hang out with those people. Hey, I got to get out of here. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.
If you enjoy this podcast, you should check out other great podcasts from the Ramsey Network, like Ramsey Everyday Millionaires.
Ordinary people built extraordinary wealth, and you can too. On Everyday Millionaires, you'll learn how millionaires live on less than they make, avoid debt, invest, and are disciplined and responsible. Listen to Everyday Millionaires wherever you listen to podcasts.